So I put down a couple of things here. One, just simple reminders, and that is the leading killer in the U.S. is heart disease. And as a result of it, we got to know by now where that's coming from. It's certainly from excess fat, no question about that. So the question is, we all know that eating flesh is probably not that intelligent. We know what goes in these animals. Cement dust. Radioactive things are now used also with some of these animals, and you're putting in your body. I mean, anybody who has any intelligence at all knows that's stupid. But on top of that, it doesn't end with that. When an animal is going to the slaughterhouse, do you think the animal has any consciousness about what's about to happen? Yes, they're not stupid. And guess what floods their entire body at that moment? Adrenaline. And so when you eat the flesh of another animal, that adrenaline floods its entire body. Adrenaline is one of the most potent drugs in the world coming out of another animal. And what you're really doing is eating the fear. You're eating the terror of another being whenever you touch that flesh and put it in your body. But just from a pure biochemical aspect, adrenaline stimulating your nervous system from the death of another animal, probably not the most cleansing thing you could do. Probably not going to give you a lot of energy, not to mention what the fat's going to do. You got to think about what it is you're putting in your body, not just because everybody else does something. Do you want to do something? Everybody else is unhealthy. And I'm not exaggerating. 1 out of 2 with heart disease, 1 out of 3 with cancer. So you don't want to get caught up in that same place. So one of the things you want to think about is people, why would somebody eat meat still after knowing all these things? The obvious answer is people go, where else am I going to get my protein? Right? There you are, ma'am. Yes, I was waiting for that. Where am I going to get that protein? Well, you saw Bobby, you see me, you see people all the time. Where do they get their protein? Give you a clue. 48% of broccoli is protein. 48% of broccoli is protein. Lettuce is 28% protein. There's protein in everything you eat. I'll tell you what, do me a favor. Step over to my common sense corner over here. Let's stop for a second. Let's think intelligently instead of like the way we've been conditioned. Think for one moment, just for one moment. If you and I were to try and figure out how much protein we really need, instead of reading the local tables that are put out by the U.S. government, which say 60 grams of protein. Now, to give you an idea of 60 grams of protein, what that really does, there's no way your body can digest that. So I called the government 4 years ago when I first started doing this and said, how can you say 60 grams when around the world they say anywhere from 12 grams to 27? But in the U.S. they say 60. That's protein poisoning. Your body can't deal with it. And I talked to the top guy there who, believe it or not, is also named as Robbins, right? It's a true story. And he said, well, Tony, he said, the way we do it is we do a sampling of the society and we find out how much protein people eat overall and we do the average. So what they do is they take a sick society where 1 out of 2 people die of heart disease, 1 out of 3 of cancer, and then they average it out and that's what you need. He said, it is true. There have been a lot of studies that show you may need as little as 18 to 20 grams a day. So that's absolutely true. He said, but we don't want to take any chances and tell people too little. That, along with the Meatpackers Association lobbying, probably assist them in keeping it at 60 grams. So step in my common sense corner. If we and I were trying to figure out how much protein we need and we had nobody to help us, and we just had to actually think like humans, then what would you and I do to figure out when we need the most protein? Protein is built basically for the growth and development and the maintenance of tissue. So when are you going to have not just maintenance, but the most growth of tissue? At what stage of life? As a baby. There's never a time when you're going to be building more tissue, more growth than as a baby. So then would it make sense that we could say to ourselves, if we had nobody to help us, hey, common sense, what did God create for babies to consume as their food when they're growing more than any time in their entire lifespan? Mother's milk. Does that make sense? How many agree with that? Say aye. Then would it make sense that if we analyze mother's milk to find out the amount of protein content in it, since that's the only food the baby's supposed to have, then we probably have a good idea of what kind of foods to look for that would mirror that. Does that make sense? How much protein is there in mother's milk? 50%? 10%? 80%? 12? 1.2 to 1.6%. That's how much is in mother's milk. Which, by the way, the only food that mirrors that really well is fruit. That's right, fruit. That's about the protein content you'll find, for example, in watermelons, what you'll find in various fruits, high water content foods. That's when you're growing the most on earth. listen, the protein content that your body needs, let me tell you this. There's an old phrase that says, if you tell a lie big enough, loud enough, long enough, sooner or later people believe you. You know who said that? Hitler. He was talking about protein intake. I'm telling you, people have been telling this lie for so long. Now, it's gotten better in recent years, and now the pendulum is thrown. Everybody's eating massive carbohydrates, right? Trying to avoid fats. But, of course, carbohydrates convert to fats when you have too much of it.